Hey guys, it's James
and Samuel,
and we are back this week for another episode of Down the Rabbit Hole.
Yeah, and I'm back.
Yes, Sam is back. No more me bullshitting by myself and absolutely sucking.
Yeah, Monday and Tuesday were fucking hell, but today actually wasn't that bad, thankfully.
Yeah, so this week, last week of the month, we are covering up the season finale, the monthly season finale, for the American Empire.
The fall of.
Yes, yes. This week we are covering the fall of the American Empire. So
basically what we've done so far is we have ran through the steps that America has undergone. Like starting with the minarchist ideals of, you know, just keeping a small government for the basic needs of the people.
Acting effectively as a referee.
Yeah, and then transitioning into a democratic republic, or in reality, it's a democracy. I mean, you're voting, and ultimately, it is the moral majority that wins.
Yeah, and this was partially to keep the government size proportionate with the population. Population gets bigger, well, you need more referees, and it leads to less of a refereeing type job and more of a you're just gonna do what we say type job.
Yeah, and then into week three, which was last week, we covered nationalism, which is, in a nutshell, basically taking an extreme pride in your nation and your system. And in this episode, we're going to basically discuss how that leads to the inevitable collapse of an empire.
Yeah.
And by floral incandescent porpoises, the United States is an empire.
Yeah.
But,
how many other countries are made up of 50 smaller countries?
Yeah.
With territories everywhere, military bases everywhere. That's
everywhere.
That's an empire, fam.
How dare these people put all of their countries next to our bases?
The bastards.
The bastards. But all in all, it all started with the Founding Fathers creating a government because while they did value liberty and freedom, there was a portion of that, there's a small portion within themselves that valued security over freedom. And that is where government starts.
Because they just got out of a government they didn't consent to.
Mm-hmm.
That was stripping them of their freedom, their property, mainly their taxes, and they wanted to feel secure in themselves that another government would not step in and do what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
I feel they probably didn't know what life was without government. They felt the need to fill the void.
Well, and that's one of the biggest issues is a lot of people like don't ever think about the prospect of just self-governance.
Like, hey, just live. On your own means.
Like, we've been doing this archaic system of, you know, security and organization, and we've never evolved past it. And it's because this particular means of security and organization does its best to convince you that you need it, that you can't move past it, that it is inevitable.
Because it's of the people.
Mm-hmm. By the people. For the people.
America.
America.
But
ultimately, when you get this small government founded, it's not going to stay small. It's going to grow. Inevitably, it is going to grow. You're going to have to give the government the power to legislate, to create laws, and through the ability to create laws, it is going to expand itself. And through this expansion, that right there is the base foundation for tyranny. That is where tyranny starts. It starts small, and then it grows, and it gets big to the point that it invades your day-to-day life.
Because once this government gets to the point where they can start making laws about anything, first, if they just start making laws, people aren't going to listen. Unless the people are involved by means of democracy, usually. Which actually right now, the Hong Kong protesters are protesting for democracy.
Which, I mean, it is an improvement from communism.
I mean,
it's still not where they want to be. It's like, this is a good time to just break away from that bullshit and just live your lives.
Yeah, to them right now, that is a lot more freedom than they have.
And
it is. It's not absolute freedom, but they definitely see it as an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what happens is it
well,
goes...
Well, that's also what happens with the United States. You know, we went from being colonies ruled under a monarchy, which is extremely authoritarian, to democracy, which is still very authoritarian. It's just authoritarian via the moral majority.
Yeah. It's the biggest government there is because then everyone is government.
Yeah, and one of the things that leads to democracy really becoming a thing is this desire to keep the government proportionate to the people. You know, you have a bigger population, you need a bigger government to keep this bigger population under control.
Yeah, you can't herd a million sheep with one shepherd. You need more shepherds.
Mm-hmm. Back of the thin blue line. But, ultimately, it is mob rule by the moral majority. It is, you know, it is authoritarianism via the moral majority. And ultimately, what this kind of leads to, especially with democracy in particular, is tribalism. Because you're going to have your candidates, you're going to have your parties, even though George Washington himself fucking warned against forming political parties, literally with the second president.
They all warned against the police.
Yeah. But,
standing army, my dude.
Yeah, it leads to a sense of tribalism where, you know, you back your guy no matter what they stand for, just because they're part of your party.
He's running under my moniker, I'm backing him.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump was literally a Democrat, ran under the Republican moniker, and because of their tribalism, they all voted for him, and they're fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Fucking stupid.
And... democracy perpetuates the lie that if we are all government, we are all free, because it gives you this illusion of choice that your vote matters.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. Like the only time it matters is if you're part of the moral majority, if you're fortunate enough to be part of that moral majority.
And then at that point, your vote is just one out of a million against, say, the couple thousand. Like, your vote doesn't really matter because it was going to win either way.
Mm-hmm. And also it's an illusion of choice because politicians have no obligation to do what they said they would do.
Oh, not at all. No. A promise is not a legal obligation.
But there is this idea, and it's spoon-fed to you, especially if you grow up in a democracy, in a democratic nation like the United States, that democracy is just fucking perfect. It's flawless. It's the best system we have. There's nothing better. And when that's force-fed to you, and you are giving no information to the contrary... it leads to a certain sense of pride in the system. It leads to believing that your system is the best system, and therefore your country must be the best.
Yeah. Because you don't know how other systems function.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that there's even another way for the system to function. All you know...
Well, nobody ever explores the idea.
No. Why would they?
Because democracy is the best.
Theirs is the best. Why would they need to explore other potential ideas?
Even though it's an archaic system that was founded in ancient Athens.
And led to the founder getting stabbed several times.
Which was Caesar.
Oh.
That was the Romans.
Got it mixed.
It started with the Athenians a very long time ago. And we're still heralding it as the best system. Like, it's like all this time later and we haven't found something better?
What? It's only good for 51% of them.
It's been thousands of years, guys. Let's move on to something that actually is better than democracy. But ultimately, this pride in the system is your transition into nationalism. It's your the less harsh word, patriotism. But
back in my thin blue line,
yeah.
Loving my votes and my government's so good and ugh.
Yeah, and keep in mind this is a pattern, like this whole, you know, start as a monarchy, grow into a democracy, grow into nationalism, and through nationalism you grow into authoritarianism.
You know, the only thing I've seen that broke this pattern was Hitler was not voted in.
Mm-hmm.
It played under the guise of being a democracy, but he rigged it in such a way that he was the only one that was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it played off the guise of democracy, and as long as people believe it's a democracy, that's all they care for.
Yeah. And you can see the pattern in a lot of countries. Like, you can see it in military imperial Japan, you can see it in Nazi Germany, you can see it in the Roman Empire. Like, it's a constant, consistent thing that your pride in your government leads to nationalism. And nationalism, in a nutshell, is this belief that you are superior to your neighbors simply because of where you were born.
And because you were told that your system from where you're born is the best one.
Yeah.
Even if another country practices the exact same system. Mm-hmm. Even if theirs is literally identical.
Yours is better.
Yeah, yours is better because it's yours.
Yeah. And this superiority complex leads to an unyielding loyalty, not only to your nation, but to your government.
Because your government is your nation.
Yes.
They are the direct representatives of your nation.
They're totally our representatives.
They are the face of you and all things that you love.
And this loyalty leads to the belief that government is always right. Because, I mean, if we're in a morally superior, just systematically superior nation, I mean, well, the systematically superior nation is led by our government, who must also be systematically superior to the rest of the world.
I mean, it's only thanks to our great leaders that we got here in the first place, so it must
totally.
Be their fault.
Yeah.
It must be their fault that we're doing so well right now.
And this idea that government is always right leads to the belief that law equals morality. And you can see that, again, especially within Nazi Germany and the United States, with the Nazi Germany's Gestapo rounding up Jews and taking them to death camps. It's like, oh, I mean, well, it's legal, so it must be right. And then you shit with the police in modern-day America that are, like, they could literally rape a woman on camera.
And someone will record it instead of stop it.
Yeah, well, that, and then there will be the fucking boomer bootlickers online, like, justifying their actions, like, oh, but how else is he going to de-stress? He has such a stressful job.
Right. Just rape someone on the job because I'm so fucking stressed. Why are you stressed? I haven't raped enough people this week.
But when you get all these things together, this, you know, this...
And then not to mention on that, doing the contrary is illegal. In Nazi Germany, mm-hmm. housing the Jews that they were looking for was illegal. Mm-hmm. In America, you do anything against police brutality, you resist arrest, even though it's a completely illegitimate arrest, mm-hmm. that's illegal.
Yep.
Anything to the contrary of what the government is doing is illegal. You either let the government do exactly what they want, or you're a criminal.
Exactly.
Obviously.
Yeah, no accountability here. Accountability is illegal. But when you combine these things, like the superiority complex, the loyalty, the rabid belief that your government is always right and that all the laws that they pass are moral just because it's law, this leads to this mindset of, you know, believing that your system is perfect, you know, and it leads to basically nobody ever wanting to change anything. You know, they just say, just trust the system, and if you don't like it, just leave. Like, no, I want to fucking change the system to improve it.
Yeah.
I want to improve upon it. But these people are so balls deep in nationalism that they believe that the system cannot be improved. It's perfect as it is.
And they'll go and complain on tax season?
Yeah, but then the second you say taxation is theft...
They get rabid. They get fucking rabid.
Yeah.
But then, the thing is, as perfect as this system is, it leads to... the downfall of itself.
Mm-hmm.
It inevitably shoots itself in the foot.
Yes, because this idea of nationalism leads to this illusion of invincibility. Basically, the belief that you cannot fail. You're too perfect to fail. You're too good to fail.
Exactly. Like, right now, with America effectively being the world's police,
mm-hmm.
where America just waits for another country to do something bad, like, mm-hmm. you know, not use USD.
And if you don't do something, they'll create something, like 9/11 and the weapons of mass destruction that they use as justification to go to war with Iraq.
Yeah.
Or, it was the accusations of, I think it was Gaddafi.
The sarin gas thing?
Yeah, using sarin gas on civilians. Which was never proven, but it was grounds for invasion.
Yeah, why wouldn't it be? Why wouldn't it be?
Even though you have no proof.
These lies are a perfect reason to go and invade a country that we have no business being in.
Yeah, and that is all, you know, basically a byproduct of this illusion of invincibility. And
We're going to do it because we can, and they can't stop us.
Yeah, and the belief that we're the moral superiors to the rest of the world.
The nationalism made the citizens believe that anything the government does is true and moral and just. It is right. So as long as they come up with a good enough excuse, like just something to perpetuate this lie of how perfect they are, like using sarin gas on your citizens. The people are going to stand by it. The people are going to go sign up for the military. I know, I know my dad joined the military a couple years into the Iraq war. Just a couple years into it. He went and joined the military. Why? Same thing. Not to shit talk my dad. I love him. But there was, my dad's not the only one. There were several people that joined the military after the war started in Iraq. Tons of people did this.
I mean, enlistment rates soared after 9/11.
Because they felt that their country was right in doing what they did, and this whole invincibility idea, they're like, well, my country is perfect and great, so if I go and fight with them, what do I have to risk?
Yeah, and it's also like...
People don't understand putting their life on the line until they actually put their life on the line. It's funny as hell.
Yeah, and like this basically blind, zealous patriotism... You know, leads to that overconfidence, and it also leads to being blind to all of the angles something can be looked at. Like with 9/11, it's like, maybe let's take a step back and think about not invading an entire nation because a small group of people allegedly attacked the Twin Towers.
A small group of people that isn't even represented by that nation because they're bad people in that nation already.
Yeah.
At least the official story.
Yeah, at least officially. But this overconfidence, like when it comes, especially with America being at war all the fucking time.
All the fucking time. Jesus Christ.
You can see it with Japanese. You can see it with Nazis. You can see it with the Romans. This overconfidence leads them to spreading themselves way too thin. Basically, they take divide and conquer to a whole new level, and they can't handle it.
It backfires.
Yeah, you can look at it with Japan by getting the United States involved in World War II. You can look at it with the Nazis creating a two-front war with the U.S., England, and France on the Eastern or the
Western
Front. The Western Front, and then turning it into a two-front with the Russians on the Northeast.
Which, bad fucking idea. Why would you do that?
He was Hitler was overconfident. He spread himself too thin. And he fucked himself in the end because
easily
of it. Because that overexpansion, it leads to being overwhelmed. Like, you're not going to be able to handle it. Like, your nation is only so big. Your standing military is only going to be so big.
And the thing is because of this sense of nationalism, this whole belief that we are invincible because we're us, they don't care that they're fighting a two-front war or a three-front war. Or war on all fucking sides. They don't care because they're invincible. Mm-hmm. How would they possibly lose this war? They're invincible.
Yeah.
So they fight to the very end, and the end comes a lot faster.
Faster than they think. But you can really see where America's going, especially right now. We still got the war in Iraq and Afghanistan going on.
Since Syria, 2003, yeah, baby.
Syria is a hotbed of international conflict that America cannot seem to keep itself out of. You have America constantly butting heads with Russia with military-related things, constantly butting heads with North Korea with military things. Now we're butting heads with China with a trade war.
Yeah.
Like... We're creating
that's our second front.
Yeah, we're creating enemies on so many fronts. And then, like, if you tuned into The Week in Anjo, where we discussed...
and it sucked.
Yeah, more on Trump's tariffs. I don't remember which week this was. But Trump was thinking about putting tariffs on France as well. It's like, dude, like, how many enemies are you going to fucking make before you get out of office?
And that's exactly the thing. He's where he's not going to actual war, he's at least creating tension.
Yeah, and that tension is what can create war.
Sooner or later, that tension snaps.
Mm-hmm. And everybody gets hurt.
Whew.
I mean, you have to think, World War I was started because an archduke of a tiny-ass country got assassinated.
That's pretty cool, actually. That's pretty cool.
And then World War II got sparked by a single nation invading Poland. Good job, Poland. You started a world conflict by getting raffle stomped.
You fucking suck, Poland.
But with that being said, I love the Poles. They're a fucking special kind of people. I fucking love them. But really, that's what does it, is that overconfidence leads to that illusion of invincibility, that illusion leads to overconfidence and overexpansion.
Yeah.
You spread yourself too thin. And meanwhile, here in the background, the public, if they start to notice...
If they knew what was going on.
If they know what's going on and see that their beloved nation is starting to spread itself too thin.
If they start to see the blemishes on your skin, mm-hmm. they start to realize it's not as pretty as you make it up to be.
They start waking up.
Yeah.
And they don't want that.
Yeah. They start to see that the nation is not invincible. Mm-hmm. They start to see that the nation is, in fact, quite corrupt, that the nation is fighting wars it has no business being in, which, mm-hmm. frankly, no country has business being in any war, but the people start to see these things. So they need a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
They need something to keep them from seeing the corruption inherent in the system. They mm-hmm. need a distraction. There's lots of them. With the Romans, it was the Colosseum, the gladiatorial mm-hmm. games. They would have hundreds.
Yeah, whenever things were going bad, they would just have a big festival at the Colosseum. Kind of take everybody's mind off of it. Like, oh no, look at how strong and wealthy and powerful we are right now. We're hosting a week of games.
Yeah.
Like, just come to Rome and see the games. And it's like, and they're actually digging themselves further into the hole because they're already in a bad situation. Now they're dumping resources into keeping the public content.
And I mean, it's not even too much on the country. I mean, there is the food resources, you know, mm-hmm. the immediate consumables. But these people are already people who weren't on the war front.
Mm-hmm.
You have to
think, though, like with Rome, it hurt Rome pretty badly because Rome was a full-fledged empire. And all of those food stores and everything was coming straight out of the government food stores, which is what was distributed to everybody.
That was food that was supposed to be on the front line.
Yeah, and that hurt them severely more. I mean, being in America, the games that we have of today, the modern coliseums and amphitheaters, that sports stadiums, it doesn't hurt the economy as badly because it's strictly capitalistic and money goes in, money comes out. So I mean, it kind of prolongs the downfall a little bit when the games, the distractions don't, ruin the economy. They actually stimulate it in this day and age.
Yeah. But that's good for the government.
Which also further fucking reinforces this false sense of security.
Yeah.
That everything's fine.
It's all good. The our distractions are propping up our failing country. And it's not even just the sports. It's not even just the sports. Because while the Romans had their sports, the Germans more than likely had theirs. I do know that they participated in the Olympics at least. They actually mm-hmm. started the tradition of carrying the torch during the Olympic Games.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking hilarious. So I say carrying the torch at the Olympic Games should be hailed as white supremacy, and we need to stop. We need to stop carrying the torch.
Cancel the Olympics.
But I don't know what the Japanese had. I feel like theirs was probably just killing American POWs.
Sushi and committing Sudoku.
Yes. Yes. That's what the Japanese did. But they have their distractions. They have their little games, their little shows, their little things to keep the citizens distracted from what's going on around them.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on around them is walls are crumbling.
Yeah, and the thing is, eventually the distractions don't work anymore. Like, especially in Japan, when the United States started firebombing their cities, you can't really look away from that anymore.
On a daily basis. Daily, they were dropping hundreds of firebombs. Like, kind of hard to distract myself from that.
Yeah.
I guess I'll get my marshmallows out, because what do you do?
And that's the thing, is eventually it grows to the point that you can't avoid it anymore. Like, and that's when you know you're really... You've already been in the end game. But now you're really in the end game. Like, at the point where...
You're in the post-game lobby where 12-year-olds are slinging racial slurs at you.
Yeah.
That's where you are.
But, it's like basically with the Romans and the so-called barbarians that were, surrounding them on all sides. Like, it gets to the point where as they start working their way inwards, you can't avoid it anymore. You can't push it to the back of your mind. You can't ignore it.
You can't hide it from the people anymore.
Yeah, when it comes to Japan's overexpansion in World War II, you know, once the U.S. started fucking firebombing them and dropping hydrogen bombs, you can't avoid that. You cannot distract from that anymore. When it comes to Germany, when the Russians were pushing in from the north and the Americans were pushing in from the west, it gets to a point you can't fucking distract anymore.
You can't.
Like, it gets to the point it's right on your doorstep. And by then, it is far too fucking late.
You should probably just build a wall to keep them from coming
in. Yeah, totally. Yeah. But by the time, you know, people usually wake up to this, to the point where they can no longer be distracted, you can no longer avoid it, at that point, it's too late.
Yeah. And right now, America is coming up into that.
Yeah, so at that point, the fall is inevitable. There's no stopping it.
Because we keep rising tensions with countries that we have no business with. We keep perpetuating old wars. Like there's the war right now in the Middle East, the war on terror. There are people fighting in that war that were born after the events of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
The war's older than they are. But there's a lot of shit going on. America is fighting on a lot of fronts right now, and it's not even just bloodshed fronts. It's not even just gun in hand, boots on the ground fronts. America is insistent on trade wars right now, mm-hmm. which, while it sounds significantly, I guess, more tame, it's not. Because the economy is what keeps the people alive.
Mm-hmm.
That's, honestly, a trade war does a more direct hit on the citizens than a boots-on-the-ground war.
When you can also look at a Cold War, like look between the Soviets and the United States with the space race. Like, that was the Cold War. It was the space race and the arms race. And the Soviet Union effectively bankrupted themselves in the space race. Yeah. And in the arms race, and the Cold War bankrupted them. They bankrupted themselves. So, yeah, Cold War and a trade war, it can lead to an internal collapse. It's not through force. It's not through, you know, invasion and bloodshed. You can make a country collapse without invasion.
Just an economic war.
Yeah, if a country is reliant enough on another country for their economy, if that other country decides to go to declare a trade war, it can fuck them up pretty bad.
And the funny thing is, right now, America is reliant on China.
Well, and
then declare a trade war with them.
Well, China's also simultaneously heavily reliant on us. So, like, we're both getting hurt in this. Like, yeah, we buy a lot of shit from them. They sell a lot of shit to us.
True.
But I subscribe to a podcast. It's by the New York Times. It's The Daily. It's actually pretty good. I like it. It's relatively unbiased. I was actually surprised. But they were recently discussing the trade war and how, even though, you know, when you look at it at face value, it's just between the United States and China, it's actually hurting other nations right now.
Yeah, because anyone else that relies on either nation involved is going to be indirectly affected by it.
Yeah.
The two direct effects are going to be America and China, but then...
And one of the nations being affected the worst... And I find this fucking hilarious.
Oh, no.
It's Germany.
Oh, God. God damn it.
Fuck Germany.
They started the last World War. If I recall correctly, they had a big hand starting the first one. And now they're going to start the third one because America can't stop.
The way I see it, like, let's just trail off for a second. Angela Merkel is the next Führer, and she's basically trying to start the Fourth Reich diplomatically. Through the fist of the European Union, because Germany heads the EU.
And that's going to be funny.
Yeah, like they are basically the de facto fucking leaders of the EU.
We'll just throw
Germany is back to being the leader of a fucking empire.
We will throw Antifa at them. We'll let them go and punch actual Nazis in the actual face.
There you go. But that, like, so basically with where we are right now with America, we have gone through the minarchist phase. We have devolved into democracy. We have devolved even further into nationalism. Nationalism right now, especially with Trump fueling the divide, is very rampant right now. and we are overexpanding. We are still in a almost two-decade-long war with Iraq and Afghanistan. We're in a trade war with China. We're always in an arms race with Russia. We are looking at going to war with Iran. Syria is always just fucking up in the air.
Do we bomb them? Do we not bomb them? Who knows?
We could end up going to war with Russia over Syria. The United States is overexpanding. They are going to eventually go far beyond their means.
Right now, it's all planned.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they have a lot of plans to overexpand.
Yep.
Once they pull the trigger on these plans...
Well, the ball's already in motion. Because, like, just with what's going on with Russia, with China, with North Korea, Syria, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, we've got our tendrils in a lot of fucking nations right now, yeah. And not in a peaceful manner.
It's just a matter of when we start putting troops in every single mm-hmm. country as an offensive.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to try and play it off as, oh, we're just there on a police action. Really? Because I've seen the police over here, and that's pretty much warlike. why would we go send police into another country? Mm-hmm. That's... Are you sure this isn't a war? This looks like a war.
Yeah. So, we are in the late stage of the empire right now.
Currently.
And...
As I live and breathe.
Will it fail in our lifetime? I have no fucking idea. It depends on how fast the government wants to move. But we are in the late game.
It took the Roman Empire a long time to fall.
We are in the nationalism-fueled overexpansion phase.
Yeah.
We're transitioning into that. And we have been for the past about almost two decades. And the people are being distracted, they're being lied to, they're being fed propaganda that the United States can't fail, possibly fail.
And there's a lot of distractions right now, especially with all the different mm-hmm. means of media. We have a lot of TV shows, we have a lot of streaming in general, we have internet shit, we have our smart devices, we mm-hmm. have sports, we have so much, we got video games.
Because people would rather look at a happy distraction then look at the ugly truth of the state of the world.
Frankly, I don't blame them.
I don't either. I really don't. And that's the thing, is when the world gets so bad that the distraction becomes the preference. That's how you know it's fucked up.
Some people know that they're in the Matrix, and mm-hmm. they would rather be in the Matrix. They would rather
not be
that.
A part of the horrid world that they... exist in.
Yeah, it's easier, it's more pleasant, and really it's they're not going to see the fall in their lifetime.
Mm-mm.
A lot of these people are not going to live long enough to see the fall, so why bother?
Yeah, because what they're not thinking is, well, what kind of future am I building for future generations? And that was one of the biggest failures of the boomer generation, is they didn't stop to think, what are we building for the next generation? All they thought of and all they focused on was use without putting back into it, and just living their best lives while they could, and fuck the next generation.
Enjoy them golden years.
Yeah. Because by the time things start falling apart, well, they'll be dead in a decade anyways. And that's where we're at right now.
The boomers created a terrible economy. They did a lot to fuck over future generations.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be dead, so we'll have no one to blame for it.
Mm-hmm. We'll just be left to pick... We are getting to the point where we'll just be left to pick up the pieces. We're only just now getting millennials into office. Like, the boomers have been running the fucking show for a long-ass time.
Ooh, and they did a bad job.
Yeah, they have effectively run the country into the ground.
Maybe I'm not actually an anarchist. Maybe I just hate boomers. Maybe that's what this whole thing is.
Maybe government's not the problem, it's just fucking boomers.
Goddamn boomers.
But yeah, we are in the late stage of the empire. When will the collapse happen? I don't know. What I do know is the collapse is inevitable.
Yeah.
It will happen.
We are already on the brink of the end. Mm-hmm. We are in the last fucking milestones of it. There's not much left after this. At this point, it's just that the current things going on with the multiple war on all sides, mm-hmm. with the distractions and the government consistently worsening. With all of these things going on, all that happens now is it keeps getting, it's the same thing, lather, rinse, repeat, until mm-hmm. it's the last straw on the camel's back and it fucking breaks.
Yep.
So the wars are going to perpetuate. The trade war is never going to get any better. The economy is going to stay fucking broken.
Or if this trade war eases up, there'll be another one.
Why not? It's no bloodshed. The people won't mind. They're going to ruin the economy. It's effectively the same thing that happened with the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
It was trade wars. The Federal Reserve doing all kinds of bullshit. There was a lot of bullshit that happened to create the Great Depression, and we're following those footsteps, too.
It falls on the shoulders of the government.
Yeah. But there's a lot of things that are repeating, and the things that are repeating now, it's the last phases, and all that these do is keep repeating until it can't.
Mm-hmm.
We are at the end of the record, and it's spinning on repeat.
Eventually, the wheel breaks.
Eventually. We're in a rut that you don't get out of.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, all that's going to happen, the wars are going to get worse. The economy is going to get worse. Yeah, we'll have our ups and downs as per an economy does,
mm-hmm.
but it's not going to bounce back like it used to. It's not going to get better like it used to. It's going to get a little better, but it's still worse than it should be. And mm-hmm. it's going to continue getting worse. The war's going to stay bad. The economy is going to stay bad, and the distractions are going to keep getting better.
Yep.
The TV shows, the sports, the games, the everything. It's all the distractions to keep the people blind is going to get better. And that's the only thing that'll get better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you can ask several Americans these days. You can ask them what kind of good things are going on. And usually, whatever good things they'll tell you about are distractions.
Yep.
Like right now, Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Yeah, that's a big one.
I don't fucking get it. It's chicken. On bread.
It's not newsworthy.
It's not, but it's a good distraction.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps the people occupied.
Yep.
The distractions will keep getting better while the country keeps getting worse. And sooner or later, they're all going to end at the same time. There's not going to be any distractions anymore because there's no more country.
Yeah.
It's all going to stop at the same time. And that's where we're at right now. We're waiting for this repeat to come up on its last play.
Mm-hmm.
So...
long story short, we all gonna die.
Pucker up and kiss your asshole goodbye. This is the end game, and I don't know about you fuckers, but I'm pretty excited. I
think most millennials are excited.
I don't know if we'll see the end in our lifetime. But God damn it, what a time to be alive to see that. A moment that will go down in the history books for all of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Roman Empire is still talked about.
Yeah.
The Nazis, given it wasn't as long ago, they're still talked about.
Talked about for centuries to come.
Easily. All of these mass empires go down in history. I would love to live to see the end of the American Empire just to say... I was fucking there.
Just to see the milestone in history.
Fucking boogalooing till the sun went down, baby. Till the sun went down.
Well, guys, I'd say that wraps up this monthly series on the rise and fall of the American Empire.
The fall is near, but we have our bets placed on it. We know where our money's at.
Yeah.
So
we're already brainstorming some ideas for this upcoming month's series.
It is September next month, so
that gives you any ideas.
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, bang, bang. we got ideas for next month.
Crash, crash.
we're trying to come up with some content, but we know about where we're going with it, so it'll be fun.
It's going to be a fun time.
So that's going to be a fun month. I want September to come already.
Oh, I'm going to come, though. But wait. I have to go to sleep for September.
No.
So you can wake me up for when September ends.
No. Fuck. But... I can't do a whole month by myself.
Four episodes Banjo and four episodes Down the Rabbit Hole all by yourself.
I will reschedule any interviews we get. No interviews till October.
Well, guys, I'd say that wraps this one up. So make sure you tune in this weekend for a week in Anjo. I will be... in that one, so everything will be normal as opposed to this past weekend.
I'm sorry.
But everything will be back to normal. My job is finally starting to ease up a little bit, so that's good. With that said, don't die. Oh, wait.
Do die?
Don't die. But is the interview, is that still on for this weekend?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. As far as I know.
As far as James knows, interview's still on this weekend, and I still won't be a part of it because I'll still be out of town.
But he should be back in time for...
I'll be back in time for Anjo. I mean, Labor Day weekend, I have Monday off. Even if we record at midnight, it's getting fucking done.
Yeah.
But, so yeah. Interview still possibly happening this weekend, which I will not be a part of. Weekend Anjo will be happening, which I will be a part of. And with that said, don't die, guys.
Or do. I'm not your boss.
Yeah.